We want to look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. I want to speak to you on the subject, for me to live. What does that mean? What is it for you to live? What is it for me to live as a Christian? We need to be living a life, as Brother Jerry has shared with us, that people will see us and glorify the Father. Sometimes people see us and glorifying the Father is the last thing on their mind. So we need to find out how we do that. Stand with me if you will. Let's read this passage together. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace that first of all has saved us, has taken us out of darkness and translated us into the glorious light. Lord, also your grace that can transform us into the image of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that with all of the muddling and all of the cloudiness that the devil tries to put into our everyday lives, that we might learn how to walk in your Spirit and have your grace accompany us everywhere we go. Search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. And use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as a Christian, the Bible says the just, and that's us, the just shall live by faith. There is no other option for us to live. You say, wait a minute, I can live without faith. No, you can't. I'm reminded of a verse, I think it's in the book of 1 Timothy. Not sure about that, but it says that, talking about taking widows into the church to support them, and their qualifications, they had to be a certain age and all that. And he makes a statement. If a widow is living in pleasure or in sin, she is dead while she lives. Now, that's what we want to look at this morning. The only life that we have as a Christian is in Jesus. If we return to a life of sin, we're living in death, even while we're alive. Because our old body was crucified with Christ. And so we want to look here, first of all, at the faith that God has called us to. The first part of verse 20, look at that with me again. According to my earnest expectations and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Notice he says, my earnest expectation and my hope. There is a tremendous need for faith. We need to earnestly expect God to do what he says he's going to do. The promises of God are just as sure as if they had already taken place. And we need to earnestly expect that. And our hope that is in Christ Jesus is just as sure as it can be. And so we need to learn about faith and what hinders faith and what strengthens faith so that we can have our faith grow. In order for faith to work, now listen to me very carefully, we have to have a real promise. Faith just in something I think up doesn't work. If I say, I'm going to trust God to give me a new Cadillac. I'm going to trust God to give me a new Cadillac. That's not going to work. Because God never promised to give me a new Cadillac. Now, he could if he wanted to. But he has not obligated himself to give me a new Cadillac. But he has obligated himself to meet my needs. He has obligated himself not to ever leave me nor forsake me. Those promises I can hang on to, and they are sure. They are steadfast. So what is the reality? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now, you may think yours is still alive, but it's not. It's dead. If you are a Christian, now listen to me very carefully. If you're a Christian, the only way you could be saved is that God had to take you to the cross, and on that cross, He crucified your flesh with His affections and lusts, and then He created in you a new man through the new birth experience. And so now that old man is dead. You say, but I can still revert back to that. You can't, but you're in death. You're not in life. That life is gone. I don't want it back. I know you don't want it back. But it is death to us. The Bible says if we walk after the Spirit, we shall live. But if we walk in the flesh, we're going to die. What does that mean? That means if you walk in the Spirit, you'll never die? That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about the life that I live. It's either a life in Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, or I'm living in death if I walk after the flesh. And so God has shown us the reality of the situation, no matter what it feels like. That old man is dead. It is crucified with Christ. Now the revival, the life that comes into us. Look at Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now notice what he's saying. This is our life, is Jesus in us. That's it. And so therefore, since we're dead to the world and alive to God, we have to change our affections so that our affections are on things above, not on things on the earth. If my affections are on things on the earth, then I'm going to go back to the death and live in death rather than living in life. If I understand the reality that I really do have life in Jesus and I can live forever in heaven, then I can set my affections on things above. That's what's important. We're only going to be here a little while, and it's over with. So he says, don't waste your time down here. Set your affections on things above. Keep thinking about home. Keep thinking about heaven. And keep living for heaven, not for the earth, not for the things of this world. What about righteousness? For a Christian, righteousness is worked the same way that salvation is worked, by grace through faith. We do not all of a sudden have the ability in our flesh to live righteous. Now, I misunderstood that. When I got saved, I thought, okay, now I'm fixed, and I can start living holy after the flesh. It's not going to happen. Listen to what the Bible says about righteousness. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9 says this, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You want to let your light shine? It's going to have to be the light of Jesus Christ shining through you while your affections are set on things above and you have completely divested yourself of any hope, any faith in your goodness in this life. You see, God's not going to compete with you. You try to be good after the flesh, that's what's going to shine through. But if you divest yourself of any hope in that, and you put your trust totally and completely in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, and you live your life so that the life of Jesus Christ is manifest in you, then you're going to find that righteousness flows through you, not from you. And God is your righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, I'm going to tell you, I believe we've lost sight of this. I believe the biggest shortcoming of the American church is that we do not understand how to live the life in Christ Jesus. We get saved, that's done, we're going about our business. And we just wing it. We know what the rules are. We try not to hurt anybody. We try not to murder. We try not to steal. We try to keep the Ten Commandments. But mainly, we're just trying to survive. We're just trying to do what it takes to get by in this life. And that destroys the witness of Jesus. As long as we live that way, nobody's ever going to see the difference between us and the lost. Because there is no difference in our everyday life. Because we're just as dead as they are. It is important to understand that once you lose a concept, it is very difficult to ever get it back. The reason heathen countries are heathen countries is because they lost the concept of salvation along the way. They lost the concept of living for Jesus. We have slowly begun to give that up. Hebrews chapter 2, the writer asked the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's going to get away from us. And so it is important that we not just take this thing of faith and ignore it. The just shall live by faith. That's the only way you can live. Everything else is death. And so we have to live by faith. So now, how do we do that? We have to believe, number one, that God's will is the very best thing for us. Can we agree on that? No matter what it is. I don't care if it's God's will for you to suffer, if it's God's will for you to have a lot or have little, whatever His will is, the very best for you is to be in the center of God's will. All right. Then we have to realize that there is nothing that can stop God from working His will in our lives. Nothing. All right? If we believe those two things, then that's the basis of our faith. We just hold on to God. God will reveal Himself through any person who trusts His love. You see, I don't know what God's going to do in my life. Now listen to me. I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I do know whatever it is, it will be filtered through God's love. And God loves me. And I know that. The reason I love Him is because He first loved me. God's love is safe. God doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to grow you. He wants to lay up treasures in heaven. You say, well, he's messing me up in this life. This life's gone, folks. You're no longer part of this world. But He's enhancing your future life. Difficulties are going to come. You know, you get in the center of God's will, that doesn't mean no problems are going to be there. Problems will be there. But God will be there too. And God's grace is sufficient. He can carry us through all this. So we just hold on to God. Don't try to bargain with God. Lord, if you'll take care of all my finances, if you'll do this, if you'll do that, then I'll believe in you. That's not faith. Faith is, God, I know you love me. You sent your Son to die on the cross to save me. You've promised never to leave me nor forsake me. And I trust you. That's faith. So many times we want God to tell us what the plan is and see if we want to go along with it. You're going to do my will? Well, what is it? You say, well, I need to know what the will is before I can surrender to it. No, you don't. You surrender to God. And then God unfolds His will in your life. And we trust God. I don't trust my faith. I don't trust my circumstances. I don't trust my past. I trust God. Whatever the result of that is, that's God's business. I belong to Him. I am glad I belong to Him. He's always been good to me. Even in hard times, God has been good to me. Faith just takes hold of God and says, I believe in God. I believe God will take care of every situation, and he can work his will in my life. I no longer try to figure out the will of God. I don't care what the will of God is. I just want to be in it, whatever it is. Now, what's the fruit of that? Look at verses 20 through 22 again. I'm going to read the whole thing. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. Now what's he saying with that? While I'm here, I'm going to be laying up treasures in heaven. That's the fruit of my labor. And he said, I don't even know what to choose, because I'd really like to just go on home. You see, if your affection is set on heaven, dying's not a problem. That's a promotion. But while we're here, take advantage of it. This is the only time you'll ever get a chance to lay up treasures in heaven. You do that not by what you do, but who you trust. You trust God, you're laying up treasures in heaven. That's all he's asked us to do. And as we do that, he will work his will through our life. The fruit of faith. Number one, and one of the most important things to America right now, is that it will wake us out of slumber. Now, I believe that's where we're at right now. We're asleep. We're just living like the crowd. We're following the crowd. All across America, people are religious, but they have no idea about faith. They try to use God as a genie in a bottle. When I have a problem, I'll call on you. When I get in trouble, I'll call on you. Otherwise, don't bother me. I'll run my own life. Don't need you right now. We need to wake up out of slumber. This is what God says. Romans 13, 9 through 14. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, what God would like to do in America is first start with the Christians and wake us up to what's really going on. You see, the devil's like the Pied Piper. He blows his pipe and we just follow. It just seems so logical. It fits right in with all of our plans, and it's so easy for us to just be lulled off to sleep, and we get in our rut, and we go year after year after year doing the same thing and making no difference whatsoever. God wants to wake us up, but you see, in order for the devil not to have a foothold in our life, we've got to get rid of our affection for the things of this world. We can do just as well with little or much. That's what Paul meant when he said, I've learned how to have need, and I've learned how to have abundance. You see, does it make any difference? Because this is not our world. We're going to leave it behind. It's like trying to fix up a hotel room. You go to a hotel room, and you say, you know, this needs a new fresh coat of paint. So you go buy paint, and you start painting your hotel room. And this needs new carpet. You go buy a new carpet, put the carpet down, and it's time to check out. So that doesn't make any sense at all. A whole lot of us are living that way, folks. We're painting a temporary dwelling. We're just here for a little while. And when we get to heaven, everybody's going to be laughing at us because we're painting a hotel room. We're fixing up a place that we're only going to be there for just a few minutes. And we spent all of our time doing it. Didn't even get to enjoy whatever it was we came for. You see, it's time to wake up. We're running out of time. The day is far spent. The night is at hand. Whatever we're going to do, we best be about it. Because the Lord's coming back. The fruit of faith is walking in the Spirit. Now, I want you to understand, it doesn't go the other way around. You walk in the Spirit and you'll have faith. No, you have faith and you can walk in the Spirit. The way the devil gets us back in the flesh is through doubt and fear, anxiety, that sort of thing. When he conquers our faith, he conquers our spirit. It's as simple as that. And so if we're going to walk by faith, we're going to walk in the Spirit, we have got to get rid of all those hooks in our life that the devil can get a hold of and hang his hat on. Because there's so many things that we do not want to turn loose of. God, you can go this far in my life, but don't mess with this. As long as there's something there, the devil will start shaking that and you'll get afraid. We've got to give up everything we've got over to God. And when we do, we can be like Job. I want to tell you something. I appreciate Job. Job went through something very difficult for all of us to strengthen our faith. Job hurt just like we hurt. Job liked nice stuff just like we like nice stuff. But Job knew where it come from. And when God let the devil take away from Job everything he owned, Job said, the Lord gave all that. And the Lord can take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What if God let that happen in your life? Could you say that? What's the most important thing in your life? Is it your stuff? Or is it the God who gave you the stuff? That's a tough question. Now, I don't expect you any better than me to be able to answer that just flippantly. But that's where faith is. That's what we have to deal with. What if? And the devil said, okay. He's got the right attitude about his stuff. But what about his health? What if we take his health away? God said, go for it, but don't kill him. That was a tough one. Job wrestled with that one. And so finally his so-called friends and encouragers said, Job, how long are you going to maintain your integrity? And Job came to a conclusion that we need to come to. He said, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. What Job was saying is there's no limit. I'm going to die trusting God. I don't enjoy suffering. I don't enjoy sickness. I don't enjoy boils. But I tell you what, none of that is greater than my love for God and my dependence upon him. And so he says, if he kills me, I won't go to heaven trusting God. There's not going to be a place where I turn back. God was pleased with that. Now that's in the Bible for one reason. So you and I can understand what faith really is. Faith is not believing that God will give you a new car if this one breaks down. Faith is not just believing that you'll always have plenty to eat. There's Christians who starve to death. Faith is believing that God's best is your best. Faith is saying, I don't care what God does. I want to be God's. There's nothing more important in life than being God's, than having God run my life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25 says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now I want you to see two or three things about this passage. Number one, you're either in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. You can't mix the two things. Every Christian still has the opportunity to return to a life of sin if you desire that. You also have a life of victory in Christ if you desire that. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. When we trust God with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding, God will direct our paths. We will walk in the Spirit. Now, as the manifestation of the flesh is listed there, don't think, well, I've got some of those, but not all of those. You've got them all. I've got them all. You say, well, it never shows up in my life. Thank God for that. Because the only reason it doesn't show up in your life is God's grace is restraining it. If God takes His grace off your life, you'll be a murderer, you'll be whatever. God wants us to be free from all that. He wants us to walk in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. God didn't want you wrestling against the flesh. He wants you out of the flesh. That's death. He wants you in life. He's called us to life. Another fruit is that we're waiting for the Savior. You see, we know the worst this world can do is kill us, and we're out of here. We have a hope that endures forever. Listen to Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, that means unchangeableness, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now notice what he's saying. We have this hope as absolute assurance that Jesus, who has already gone into heaven, will come back for us. That's the blessed hope. And everybody that has this hope has a desire to purify himself. Our blessed hope is that one day Jesus will come down in the clouds like He went up, and He will call our name, and He will call us out of this world in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, God has already prepared our place. We need to be enjoying that as we wait for the Savior. He said, occupy till I come. But you see, we also have a future. Listen to verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. A whole lot of people in this world, to die is not gain. I heard somebody say about a heathen, he was suffering and then he died. He said, well, at least he's not suffering anymore. And I thought to myself, you have no idea. You have no idea. In hell, he's screaming for one more day back suffering. But you see, for us, to die is gain. We go on and we find out what God has been doing with all of our life as we've walked in His Spirit. What He is designing for us. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. But I'll tell you what, heaven's going to be something else to see. And even something better to live in. It's not hard to set your affections upon things above when you really know what God is doing on our behalf. We have a future. A fellow told me one time, he said, the devil keeps reminding me of my wicked past. He said, but I just remind him of his deadly future. One of these days, the Lord's going to come back and set everything straight. I'm looking forward to that. The Bible speaks of lost and found in relation to our life here on earth. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 35 says this, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. What does that mean? As long as you are hanging on to this life, you will never be free from the bondage of this life. You will never be free from the anxiety and the frustration and the depression and discouragement of this life as long as you try to hold on to it. But if you just turn it loose, you say, God, you gave it. Take it when you want to. You can leave it. Whatever you leave, I'll thank you for it. Whatever you take, it's okay. And if my health gets bad, so be it. I'm reminded, Brother Nick, at 94, had never had but two cases of flu in his life. Only time he ever been sick. And he just was getting around. We moved the stage. You couldn't keep him off of carrying it. He said, I can lift as much as any man here. And he would just do that. He worked all the time. He poured concrete with a wheelbarrow. He was a man fit as a fiddle. 94 years old. I got a call one day from his neighbors that he had fallen. I rushed over there and the ambulance took him to the emergency room. Went to the emergency room and Taylor and Joel were both there when I got there. And they visited for a few minutes. We had prayer, and they left. And I sat there with him for a little while, and he couldn't hardly talk. He called me over there to him. He said, Pastor, I was talking to the Lord the other day. I said, Lord, you know, if I don't ever get sick, I'm not going to be able to die. Different way of looking at it, isn't it? You see, to him, death was gain. Whenever we really understand heaven, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. There's a better world waiting for us. And if we live that way and turn loose of this life, we're going to find it. There is nothing better than living free in Jesus. Nothing better. Speaking of living free, look at John chapter 8, verse 33 through 36. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Can I get an amen? Sin is a tough taskmaster. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. One of the most wonderful things about Christianity is freedom from sin. Walking in the Spirit sets you free. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Say, what's the truth? It's what I'm trying to share with you this morning. It's living by faith, turning loose of this life, taking hold of the life to come. And that sets us free. And there's nothing better. Right now, we're living forever if we're living in Jesus. Let that soak in. We're not waiting for eternal life. I got that 60 years ago. I've already got it. If you're a Christian, you've already got it. We're going to live forever. We're going to die, no, never. You say, wait a minute. One of these days you're going to have to be buried. You're just going to bury this old body. It's just what I ride around in. It's like my truck. You know, one of these days we're going to bury that thing. The body simply carries us around. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. But that spirit's going to live forever. Listen to what John says. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Folks, God wants us to live by faith. When he went back to heaven, he told his disciples, and by extension, he told us, I want you to have an abundant life. See, God didn't want to mistreat you. You say, well, if I give up my life, I'll have to go live in a hut in Africa somewhere. Not necessarily, but if you do, it'd be the best place for you. Well, if I surrender to Jesus, he might call me to preach. He might do it. It's not so bad, is it, Brother Rick? It's a privilege to serve God. Whenever we surrender to Jesus, the benefits are outrageous. But when we try to hang on to this life, it's so difficult. Life's hard if you're trying to wing it. Life's hard if you don't have God making everything work. But you see, we've already got our eternal life. Let's enjoy it now. Live for Jesus. And whatever comes, God can handle. Take my word for that. I've been at this for almost 60 years. God can handle it. He has never, ever failed me. Now, I failed him, but he has never failed me. So my challenge to you this morning is this. Don't try to just commit to faith. Commit to turning your life over to Jesus. That's what faith is. I can say I believe in Jesus. I can say I trust the Lord. But that will very quickly show itself in my life, one way or the other. Doing is more important than saying. What I need to do and what you need to do is to take a look at our life and say, how much of this can I let go before I turn loose of God? How much of this can God take away and me be all right with it? And whenever you finally come to that conclusion that he can have anything you've got, and when he starts shaking it, and when he starts challenging you on it, don't panic. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your Father knows you have need of all these things. In Mark's gospel, he adds a little phrase in. He said, "Be of good cheer, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God delights in blessing us, obviously. Look how blessed we are. What God wants from us is trust. Just don't put your affection on the stuff he gives you. Put your affection on him. And the rewards are out of this world. Can you imagine being set free from sin? That's the way it works. Can you imagine having a tremendous inheritance in heaven? That's the way it works. He tells us if we live in the flesh, there is no inheritance in heaven. You won't have any inheritance when you get there if you live your life in the flesh. So it behooves us as Christians. That's what the last verse of Galatians chapter 5 is all about. He says, if we're going to live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. If you're going to go to heaven one day and have a relationship as the Son of God, let people see that now. Let your light shine. And I'm going to tell you, this is not a requirement in the sense of something hard to do. This is a privilege. The Lord said, you're going to know the truth. The truth will set you free. Truth doesn't bring us into bondage. It's free. And God will set us free. You know, Jesus came into this world because of love. He loves every sinner all over the world. And he desires to save every one of us. It's not his will that one single person go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. Now, this morning, if you're lost, the Holy Spirit, I know, has been speaking to your heart. That's the way he works. And you know in your heart you need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. And if you do that, he'll save you just like that. Now, let me save you the argument, you don't deserve that. You can't live good enough to deserve it after you're saved. You can't earn it. But God has already paid it all. And he offers it as a free gift. And you receive that gift by faith, trusting in him to do for you what you can't do for yourself. That's what faith's all about. I want to encourage you this morning. Take that step of faith. You know, we can purpose in our will say, yeah, God can take everything I've got and it's okay. And I'm committing to that. God says, I want you to walk down that aisle, profess me as Lord of your life. He said, I ain't do that. I'd be embarrassed. What happened to faith? See? Whenever God leads us and we say no, it hardens our heart. So today, if you have heard his voice and he has told you something he wants you to do, I don't care what it is, do it. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to live by faith. Because we have a God who takes care of all of our needs, takes care of our sin, takes care of our health. Everything is in your care. We thank you for that. Lord, now I pray for that soul that's nearest hell, the one you've been speaking to, man, woman, boy, or girl. They might put their trust in you and be eternally saved. Jesus' name we pray.